If you got your Bibles, go ahead and open them to the book of Hebrews, chapter 5. I'll give you a second to turn there. We're going to be in verses 1 through 10 today. So you can look at our starting line, you can look at our finishing line. So we're beginning a new chapter today, but really it is a continuance from the last couple of verses in chapter 4. The preacher has just switched focus from talking about how Jesus is our rest and our Sabbath to how Jesus is a better high priest. Now, we'll let you know, there is a lot of theology that we will be learning today. It is important that we have theology, proper orthodox theology, undergirding the application that the Word of God makes in our life so that we keep things in context, but also we can use those things as tools in our life and in our walk with the Lord. So let me talk about the high priest for just a second. In the Jewish religion, few people are more important and considered more holy than the high priest. Once a year on the Day of Atonement, it was he who went into the Holy of Holies, risking his life. Now remember that God is a consuming fire. There needs to be absolute holiness to be in his presence and in his manifest presence, especially to make a sacrifice for the sins of the people, which is what the high priest was doing. So he had to go through an elaborate ritual, a cleansing process, so that he would be made holy before he can step into God's holy presence. The high priest was a mediator between God and themselves. Thus, the importance cannot be overstated. The implied question that lies just behind the veil of this section is, Remember the preacher is talking to a house church. They've come out of Judaism. Some of them have left the house church now because of persecution and other things. They've gone back to Judaism. And so you have the remnant that's left. And so the writer of Hebrews is trying to exhort them, stay with the program. Stay in the faith. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Keep following. Don't go back to what you have because what you have now is so much more than what you ever thought was possible. So the implied question, again, that lies just behind the veil is, why would you consider going back to the old religion and relying on a human high priest to make atonement for your sins when you have Jesus, who is in every way a better high priest and the sacrifice for sins once and for all? So that question sets the context for what we are about to read and study. And of course, there will be personal application at the end of this, just as in all scripture, according to 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, for all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man and woman of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Thus, there will be application in what we're studying today. So hang in there, just learn some new things today, and then we'll cross the finish line together with application. So we're going to pick up back in chapter 4, verse 14, and then we'll come over to chapter 5. Verse 14, seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Now flip over to chapter 5, verse 1. For every high priest taken from among men is appointed for men in things pertaining to God, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins. He can have compassion on those who are ignorant and going astray, since he himself is also subject to weakness. And because of this, he is required, as for the people, so also for himself, to offer sacrifices for sins. And no man takes his honor to himself, but he who is called by God, just as Aaron was. So look at the first word there in verse 1. You see the little preposition? The word for. So it's this little preposition that connects this section with what has just been said in verses 4, 14 through 16 in the previous chapter and the verses that we just read a moment ago. The subject is the high priest. Now, We have a, slide for you here, kind of help you see what I'm talking about. So there were several qualifications for the high priest according to Jewish law, which is what the first verses are mentioning in verses 1 through 4. The first is they had to be human and thus empathetic with our fallen condition. In other words, someone doesn't know our humanity like someone who is a human, right? It takes a human. A sheep knows a sheep. A human knows a human. So that was the first qualification. So that they could be empathetic with our fallen condition. The second is they had to be willing to go into the Holy of Holies. This was the manifest presence of God and offer sacrifices for both himself and the people. And this was risky business. The Holy of Holies was the most holy place in all of Israel at the time. It was the holiest place in the temple. There was an old, it's a myth. It comes from a sect of Judaism, that is kind of a mystical sect. But there was an old story that they would tie a rope around the high priest's ankle. So when he would go into the Holy of Holies, that rope had little bells tied on it. And so as he's going there and he would begin making his sacrifice to the Lord, he'd be shaking the rope a little bit so they could hear the bells. But if the bells stopped ringing, time to pull him back out because homeboy, he's not alive anymore. You have to pull him right on back out. It was, I believe that story is a myth and it became legend. But the point is how serious business it was to go into the manifest presence of God. The Bible says he is a consuming fire. And without being in pure holiness, we cannot even come into his manifest presence, which is the reason we needed Jesus to take all of our sins away. Our holiness is found in Christ. So, but just understand that it was a big deal for the high priest to go in there, and not everyone wanted to be the guy. They're like, I know, that's okay. I'll let somebody else be the guy. And then the third qualification is God had to choose him. Now, originally, God chose Aaron and then his sons, and it went down through the Levitical priesthood, the tribe of Levi. But later on, even the high priest job got a little corrupted, and that position could be bought. It became a political position, and they would actually buy their position with a lot of money from the Romans of all people. But way back when Aaron was chosen by God, it became the qualification, even though they didn't follow it to the letter of the law by the time we got to Jesus' time. Now, in the next few verses, the teacher, now he is, I'm calling him the teacher and I'm calling him the preacher and the writer of Hebrews. We know the Holy Spirit inspired the writer of Hebrews, but the person given, this is a sermon, the person given the message was a preacher. But he's also a teacher because, as we're going to learn, there's a lot of theology that we're being taught today. He's also the writer. He's the one that wrote this. So I'll be interchanging those terms. Now, the teacher will show how Jesus not only met these qualifications, but he exceeded them. He exceeded them. He addresses these qualifications, though not in order. Nevertheless, he shows how Jesus met the requirements that qualified him to be a better high priest. So now look at verse 5. So also, Christ did not glorify himself to become high priest, but it was he, that's God the Father, who said to him, "You are my son. Today I have begotten you." Verse 6, as he also says in another place, "You are a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek." We'll go into Melchizedek in just a moment. Look at the word "so also." So also, like Aaron, Jesus was chosen by God the Father. He did not exalt himself, but humbly accepted his appointment. Unlike their current high priest who bought their position in arrogance and quest for power. And to show that Jesus was chosen by God the Father to be a high priest, the writer refers to a messianic scripture back in Psalms, Psalm 2 verse 7 and Psalm 110 verse 4, that itself is pointing to Jesus and was fulfilled by Jesus. So the writer continually goes back to the book of Psalms to show how Jesus was meeting all the requirements of the various things that we've talked about thus far. And today he's talking about in chapter 5, the high priest. So verse 2, it said, we have that up there. I just want to show you that where it is. So this is in Psalms. This is the one that the writer is referring to. I will declare the decree. The Lord has said to me, you are my son. Today I have begotten you. And then in Psalm 110, the Lord has sworn and will not relent. You are a priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek. So in Hebrews 5, the writer is referring back in Psalms to these passages right here to give evidence of what he is saying about Jesus is absolutely true and has been sanctioned by God the Father. Now, look at verse 7. Who in the days of his flesh... Am I going too fast for anybody this morning? You want me to slow down? I can go much slower. Imagine a sloth up here. You've seen those cartoons of them. And Jesus. Yeah, I know. It'd just be my wife here, like on every Sunday. All right, verse 7. Who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with, how do you pronounce that word? Vehement. Man, it has thrown me all week. I'll just let you know. Vehement? Vehement, vehement, cries and tears to him who was able to save him from death and was heard because of his godly fear. Though he was a son, verse 8, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. So the days of flesh refers to the earthly days of Christ. This is talking about his humanity. Remember that the high priest, one of the qualifications was that they had to be human. Thus, Jesus was human, meeting one of the requirements. I know that he was also divine, but the point that is being made here was his humanity. Then lastly, we see another requirement met. He was willing to go into God's presence and offer prayers and supplications. These prayers and supplications were offered like a sacrifice. So Jesus was going into the presence of God, offering up sacrifices of praises and supplications, prayers and supplications. Supplications are praying for other people, just as the high priest did when he went in, as he was offering the sacrifice for others in addition to himself. So these two verses appear to be alluding to the Garden of Gethsemane, by the way. Many people feel as he's crying and pleading to the Father. So let's talk about a couple other things in these verses before moving on. Notice the terms godly fear. It is for this reason that he was heard. Godly fear is not the same as being scared. The Greek word when intended in the Bible for just being scared, plain scared, is phobos. This is another Greek word. This word used here means reverent. It conveys the idea of acting cautiously and beware. The picture word illustrated here is that of cautiously taking hold of and carefully and respectfully handling things. Has anybody ever walked across the room with a teaspoon full of like some kind of liquid? I don't know if your hand shakes like me, but my hand shakes. Or you're carrying a big pot of water and you're trying not to spill it out. That is the idea that this word in the Greek is trying to intend to convey over. Handling the presence and your time with God cautiously and carefully. Let me ask you this morning, how do we handle our prayer time with God? It's an important question. Do we handle it with sacred and reverent time? Is it a special time? It is your kairos moment, your meeting time with God. Or do we handle our prayer time like a drive-through window? I'll tell you, praying on your drive to work in the morning, that's one thing. But getting on your knees in the morning before you go to work is another thing. Which situation allows you to be focused and have deep reverence for your time with God? Maybe as our head is hitting the pillow, we remember that we forgot to pray all day. And just as it's that time between, I'm going to lay down between that time and my head hitting the pillow, I burn a prayer off, I spill one off to God. Man, I'm guilty of that, I tell you. I am. And we can get so busy in our worlds that we forget to pray. God wants a date with you every day. He wants an appointed time where he's standing there watching the clock. All right, they're almost up. They're almost up. They're almost up. Angels, get ready. Angels, get ready. Holy Spirit, get ready. They're almost up. Any moment, they're going to be awake. They're going to get their coffee, and they're going to come in this room, and we're going to have a date right here. Man, that is handling our time with God in reverence. I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you in that. All right? Look at the phrase, learned obedience. This does not mean learning like we humans learn. He suffered these things that he might be a compassionate high priest. Sometimes the hardest obedience is in the challenges of suffering. Are we going to do what the Bible says and what God commands? Or do what we think is right? Suffering can include sickness, emotional duress, persecution, and any myriads of ways that suffering can land on our doorstep. Trusting God and walking through the storm with him can bring greater life lessons and empathy towards others. God tells us to love others, right? One of the greatest ways that we can learn to love others is walking in their shoes. Jesus was utterly obedient to God, even in his human sufferings, so he knows how hard it can be for us too. It's nice to have a God who understands, isn't it? That can empathize with what we go through. He can deal gently with our sins because he is so fully aware of the sense of the personal defilement of sin. He is aware of what sin does to us, even though he himself was sinless. He didn't suffer so that he could learn anything new. That's the important point to understand in this. He suffered so that he could experience our suffering and we could be confident that he understands our pain. How beautiful is that? So he could walk in our shoes. The Jewish high priest could not do this like Jesus did. Now look at verse 9. And having been perfected, he became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him. He became perfect in the sense that he completed his qualification course for becoming the eternal high priest. He offered up his sinless body of perfection as an atonement for our sins. He was the perfect high priest to go to the throne on our behalf and present himself as the sacrifice for our sins. And remember that the sacrifice on the Day of Atonement had to be perfect and without blemish. Jesus was perfect as the mediator for our sins, and he was perfect as the sacrifice. The regular high priest had to cleanse themselves because they were imperfect. Thus, in the comparison, Jesus was and is the perfect high priest, and that's what we're to understand. Now, there's just one objection left that could be made, and it's this. If they were to argue back with their teacher, says, well, let me push back on this a little bit. But he wasn't of the lineage of Levi as the priests were required to be. Therefore, he can't be the high priest. However, the writer anticipates this objection. And he says that the lineage doesn't matter. Jesus was of the line of the tribe of Judah. Says that the lineage doesn't matter because there had been a high priest before Aaron. This high priest wasn't a Levite. He predated Aaron, in fact. And his name was Melchizedek. Verse 10. Called by God as a high priest, according to the order of Melchizedek, of whom we have much to say and hard to explain since you have become knuckleheads. Melchizedek was a mysterious, let's talk about him for just a moment. Melchizedek was a mysterious and a mystical figure mentioned in the Bible at the time of Abraham. The Bible doesn't tell us much about him, neither before nor after his sudden appearance in the Bible or his sudden mention. He just appears in Scripture. Many think that it was Jesus in a pre-incarnate form called a Christophany. Those are the appearances of Jesus in the Old Testament. Let's look at this passage for just a second. If you want to flip back there to Genesis 14. And while you're turning back there, I'll give you just a brief context. Lot and his family, remember they had gone down to Sodom, and that was kind of their area that he staked out. Lot. So Abraham had just, Lot had gone into captivity. He was taken captive by some other kings, other tribes, and Abraham had got his people together and went and rescued Lot from their captivity, brought them home and all the spoils. And when they got back to Abraham's house in his area, there was King Melchizedek. He just suddenly appears in the Bible. And here's the interaction that they had. Chapter 14, verse 18. Then Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. He was the priest of God Most High. And he blessed him and said, "Blessed be Abram of God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth, and blessed be God Most High, who has delivered your enemies into your hand." So out of nowhere, this figure whom the Bible calls the King of Salem, which means the King of Peace, and the name actually, Melchizedek, means King of Righteousness, so he's got two names. He had no beginning, and he had no end in the Bible. He just appears. He receives a tithe from Abraham. Abraham, by the way, gives him 10%. This was before the law of Moses. This was before the requirement of a tenth of a tithe. This was before all that. He gave him a tithe. That's a lesson for another day. So he blesses Abraham and then is not mentioned doing anything else or performing any other function in the Bible. He is mentioned a few other times just in reference to who he was. But we don't see him doing any other thing. Why is he mentioned in Hebrews? Why all of a sudden? Like Melchizedek, the preacher says that Jesus doesn't need a lineage to be high priest. He doesn't need a lineage of man because God chose him before the law even came into being. The writer then suggests that he would like to talk more about this, but they just wouldn't get it. They're cotton-headed ninny muggins. This wouldn't get it. Another thing about Melchizedek is he was both a high priest and a king. So was Jesus. And we'll talk a little more about Melchizedek in later chapters. But the point in mentioning him is that Jesus far supersedes the humanly high priest. He supersedes their qualifications. And not only is Jesus a high priest and a king, but he is both of these forever. Forever, according to Psalm 110, verse 4. And if you look back on verse 6, that's exactly what the writer quoted. He is a king and he is a priest forever. Jesus. So maybe Jesus was in a Christophany presented as, maybe he was Melchizedek back then. So what is our application for today? The first is, Jesus is perfect. He was the perfect mediator and he was the perfect sacrifice. And we need not add anything to his work for God to accept us. There are religions out there that teach that Jesus was not enough, that his blood was not enough, that it requires work on our behalf every day. Get up, go knocking on, hello, doing my job, trying to earn a few more works because Christ's salvation is not enough. But I'm here to tell you is that Jesus was perfect and the sacrifice was perfect. There's nothing left dangling that we need to do for eternal salvation. Just believe as the Bible says. The second thing. If we think that we are incapable of victory over sin and our enemies, wow, this sin is just too big. My enemies are just too strong. This is just too hard. God doesn't understand. Oh, he understands all right. Or maybe we can't obey God when suffering is too great. Maybe God is taking too long. Jesus shows us that we can in him. We can overcome our enemies. We can overcome all the things that the enemy throws at us. We can do it. I'm telling you, man, if you're in a struggle this morning, or there's something you just can't, man, I can't give this up. Yes, you can. If the Holy Spirit is telling you you can give it up, I assure you that he is going to equip you with the grace to give it up. If you're trying to get good on your own work and your own strength, it's going to be hard. I'll tell you, it's going to be hard. We can only grit our teeth and turn our face red and clench our fist for so long, we just let go. It's got to be through Jesus. And we can do it through Jesus. We can do it. The third is, we don't need a high priest to talk to God. Though Jesus physically fulfills that role, there was a point trying to be made here. But Jesus has made it possible for us to go directly to God, and with boldness too. In fact, we were just told that at the beginning of this message, which brings us full circle in our discussion back at 16 of chapter 4. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. If you're a born again believer, we're going to end right here. If you're a born again believer, you can go directly to the throne of God anytime. Jesus had made that possible. You don't need me or someone else, a professional ministry person, to pray for you. I'm always happy to do so. I don't have any more juice than you do. You got it all. Jesus gave it all. If you're born again, you can go right to the Father's throne, the throne of grace and mercy, through our high priest, Jesus Christ, who has made that possible. Amen. Amen. Let's close our eyes. Father, we thank you for your word that is living, powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword, able to divide both soul and spirit, of bone and marrow. We thank you that it is alive and well and that it is working. Lord, we pray that your word would go out, and truly the seeds that have been deposited this morning through your word, I pray that they would grow into trees with fruits of righteousness on them. Lord, you've seen the people we've prayed for this morning. We pray that our prayers, we thank you in advance for answering our prayers. We thank you that your angels have been dispatched. Lord, we thank you for all those that you've brought today. Lord, I pray that you'd be with those that are thirsty, and that you would fill them with the presence of the living God. That the water of the Holy Spirit would purify and satisfy their soul, Lord. Thank you. And finally, if there's anyone here this morning, you do not have a relationship with God, I'm telling you that you still need a high priest. And his name is Jesus Christ. There is no one on earth that can go into the presence of God the Father, no one, without Jesus Christ and his righteousness washing over them. Your high priest comes again today. And he says, come. I want to be your Lord and I want to be your Savior. I want to go with you through the storms. Are you at the end of your own strength? Come and lean on me. If that's you and you're here today and you want a relationship with Jesus Christ, I'm going to ask that you would, with no one looking around, that you would raise your hand this morning. And leave it up until I acknowledge it and our eyes meet. And then I'm going to lead you through a prayer. And the word says if you speak it and you believe it in your heart, you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord, that you will be saved. And everything changes. Everything changes. So if that's you, as my eyes are scanning the sanctuary this morning, anyone here today that would like a relationship with Jesus Christ and would like their high priest, you'd like to shake hands with your high priest this morning, I would love the privilege of an introduction. Anyone at all? All right. Lord, I thank you this morning, and I pray that you'd bless everybody as they go home this afternoon. I pray that the things that they've heard today and the things that they've seen and they've witnessed, Lord, it would be a living testimony in their hearts and life. We thank you, God, for your goodness. Bless us now in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Have a great week.